Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 8:15, joined by Jason Williams, New Orleans District Attorney. How you doing, sir?
I am good. Tommy, how are you?
I'm okay. I guess you're letting everybody out of jail for free and not trying anybody and so forth, right?
Working day and night, Tommy.
I'm just going by and I'm just going by social media, Jason. That's all.
Yeah, I go by sometimes too. It keeps me up at night.
Yeah, no, don't do it. Tell me what's going on at the DA's office, seriously.
Well, you know, we are Andre Godin, my chief of screening, who was the one who set up our district screening program, has really stepped up, and he's sort of our efficiency czar at the moment. He's looking at every single place where we can take austerity measures to really make sure that we are ready for what may be coming in terms of this fiscal cliff. You know, the public safety space is just not really a space where you can fix your budget. There are needed impacts, but you also have very lasting impacts when you start cutting into law enforcement agencies that have to do the same amount of work or sometimes more work during our tough budget times.
Have you presented the budget yet for 2026?
Yes, we went before the city council and we discussed our goals for this upcoming year. Before we got word that there had been a lot of misinformation about what the deficit was, there were a number of spaces in which we were trying to really expand upon our work, especially in the space of domestic violence. There have been at least five murder suicides in 3 months' time, which is more than we had in all of last year. Chief Kirkpatrick and I have been really working to try to find if there's any commonalities or through lines between that space. Mental health is certainly a part of that. And so we were trying to stand up a completely vertical domestic violence unit that would take a case from inception, regardless of how small, to the very end, and working with Jenna Vegno and the health department, so that we're getting in front of those cases, dealing with young people who are present where there's domestic violence, making sure that they are getting some sort of treatment as well to make sure that they don't themselves become abusers or find themselves in abusive situations.
So I don't understand how, you know, they talk about in economics, elastic or inelasticity. I don't see how your budget can be very elastic at all I'm getting confused. Either way, your budget is what it needs to be, right? I don't know how you can do more with less, can you?
We can't. We can, but we don't have as many homicide prosecutors as we have set up as a goal with the city council. And so we've got 12 sections of court that have the same number of cases they had before the CAO of this current administration told us that there was going to have to be some major cuts. That does not impact the number of people in jail and the number of cases set for trial and the number of victims who are expecting and deserve for these cases to be dealt with. So there's no elasticity. There's no room for just random cuts, in the police department and in the DA's office and in the health department. Because even when we get past this budget crisis, if we cut too deeply into those areas, it's going to impact next year and the year after that.
So what are they telling you about 2026, or have you heard anything? At what point? Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We'll come back. 8:20, we're talking to DA Jason Williams. I understand what's going on in 2025. I'll ask you about the rest of 2025 when we come back in your office, and also what happens in 2026, because, again, it is an inelastic thing. You need what you need, and when do you find out what you get, what you get. Jason Williams, DA, our guest, 820 Traffic Now, WWL. 825, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to District Attorney Jason Williams. What are they telling you about furloughs or whatever with payroll and your department for the rest of the year? Are you guys going to get paid or not?
So Mayor Cantrell's proposed a very random 30% reduction to the DA's budget. That would be devastating. We are already a very lean office, and these cuts don't just trim fat. They will actually cut into the bone. That will mean fewer prosecutors, fewer support staff, but no fewer cases. There will be less capacity to assist victims and witnesses through their worst moments. You know, and Tommy, just to put it simply, you can't pause a criminal case because there's no money. It's unconstitutional to defendants, and it is just simply cruel to victims who are waiting and deserve their day in court. But I believe the city council, the mayor-elect, understand that the mayor's proposed cuts just don't make sense, much to the same way that the differing numbers that they have been told over the course of the past year just doesn't make sense. And you know, I really hope that in this moment that the people of the city don't miss the Herculean effort that mayor-elect and this council are making behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, talking to anyone that will listen to show the measures that, and accountability measures that are being put in place so that we can stabilize this budget and not go backwards. We saw a great amount of success in the public safety space. Our No Dice program, working with the police department and the ATF and the state police, we saw an 83% drop in gun violence in Mid-City, a 72% drop in the Treme, a 48% drop in the 7th Ward. All of that success is going to backslide if we were to move forward with the mayor with Mayor Cantrell's proposal.
I think some of the unsung heroes in your department are the investigators. Are you talking about fewer investigators as well?
100%. I mean, when you start talking about when a case is made in January, by the time it goes to trial later in the year or that next year, investigators have dug deep and going to get Ring doorbell camera footage, talk to anyone else that might have been on the scene. Like, that's what gets a case beyond probable cause to proof beyond a reasonable doubt to get convictions against some of the worst offenders. And if we lose them, they're going to go to another parish where they don't have to work as hard, and we're not going to be able to get them back once we stabilize the budget.
So you got a 30% reduction. Crime remains constant. Prosecutors either don't get paid or get laid off. Investigators get either don't get paid or get laid off. You got to give the defendants the trials. So does that mean guilty people go free? What does that look like, Jason?
Yeah, that's exactly what it would mean. It would mean that there would be cases that would either be delayed. It could cause a person or a judge to potentially reduce the bond, or they would file a speedy trial motion to try to force the case to go to trial, because they know that there's been some furlough or cut in the prosecutor's offices. Or it means that my folks, who are already handling many, many more cases on their docket than any other prosecutors in the state, are going to have even more cases because we'll have fewer people working on them. It is not possible to work without with the 30% cut. It's just not possible.
So the budget that you submitted was more than 2025 for 2026, or the same?
Well, we try our best to keep it the same as it was, realizing the situation that we're in, and we're putting into place every single austerity measure that we can find. But the idea of letting people go or furloughing people when the criminal legal system just does not stop and cannot stop really puts us up against the wall.
So I guess what I'm saying is, if you're talking about what a 30% reduction would do for the rest of this year, you can't really seriously look at a reduction for next year, else you'd be talking about just an extension for 2026, right? The same thing?
100%. But the good news is Joe Geruso is an amazing council member, is paying very close attention. If you watch closely, Leslie Harris, Councilmember Harris, is shadowing his budget work, because she's going to be taking over that work. So they're paying very close attention to everything and asking questions, looking for evidence of what's true and what's not true, because partners of the administration should have been giving accurate information to the council for the past year. and we could have been taking these austerity measures throughout the year so we wouldn't have this shock through the system.
So I'm just a little bit curious here, and I want to drill down on this. The 30% reduction you're talking about, that was proposed for 2026, and or what is the rest of 2025?
That was proposed for our next year's budget.
All right, so what's the rest of 2025 going to look like?
2025, I believe that based on my conversation with the mayor-elect and the current city council, that we're going to be where we need to be to take care of those cases that are on the docket and to make sure we don't lose essential personnel in the process.
So you're confident? You are worried? Tell me where you stand on this.
Well, I'm not sleeping very well, but I'm extremely confident in this council and the mayor-elect to find a way to get us out of this hole for the rest of the year. And they're looking at whatever it's going to take to get us there. And I also think they understand that there are areas that we can trim and there are areas that we cannot trim in order to get through this crisis.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Jason Williams, District Attorney, New Orleans. We'll talk to Jeff Nowak about the Saints. We come back a little bit late time now. WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. All right, 8:45, quarter till 9. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by WWL content producer and sideline reporter Jeff Nowak, one of the few men in the world who understands the NFL kickoff rule. How you doing, Jeff?
I think there's a few more this year that understand it, but I'm doing good. Tommy, how are you doing?
I'm okay, but I'm noticing some officials that perhaps are a little confused about it, maybe some players a little bit confused about it, some coaches a little bit confused about it, but you're saying somebody does understand it.
I believe so. I think that is the case, yes.
All right, let's talk about the Saints and the NFL draft, not NFL draft, NFL trade deadline. What's likely to happen, if anything?
Well, you know, I think those two things are connected. So it's, you know, because I think, you know, the Saints should be thinking about the draft today as they look at their roster and figure out, hey, who can be moved, who can't be moved. I think the bigger question is going to be what's the market on some of these players, mm-hmm. right? Because I think there is some level of, okay, you can get a sixth-round pick for this player. Is that worth it? Just like, for example, Rashid Shaheed, right? He's in the contract year. Alonte Taylor, he's in the contract year. When you consider trading those players, you also have to consider, hey, if you sign them, you keep them. If you don't sign them and they go sign somewhere else, say Rashid Shaheed gets a $16 million a year contract from Team X, well, it would actually make less sense to trade him now for something less than a fourth-round pick when you consider that you could potentially get a fourth-round pick or better as a compensatory selection for that player. So that does factor in. It does. This is not going to be a team that just goes into fire sale mode for the sake of making statement trades and doing that. But I do think you have to consider it just because, hey, I mean, there's a point where you just have to kind of make a statement to your roster and to your fan base mm-hmm. that you are aggressively pursuing change. And, you know, when you're 1-8 and when you're losing games the way the Saints have the last 3 weeks, I think that's a statement that probably is worth making. So, you know, I it's tough to say exactly how active they'll be. I'd be surprised/disappointed if they don't make at least one reasonable-sized move, you know, some mid-sized move. I don't think it's going to be anything groundbreaking. I don't think they have the players to move that would constitute a groundbreaking trade or kind of a blockbuster trade in the NFL. But right now they have 5 picks for next year's draft. They do look like they're still in line to get a 6th pick and a comp pick for Paulson Adebo, just an example of, hey, you don't trade a player, but you can still get something back for that player. Mm-hmm. So 6 picks, that's still not enough, right, when you're a team that has as many holes to fill as the Saints do. So, you know, a player like Rashid Shaheed is one that I would be looking at as saying, hey, you know, if there's offers out there, even if they might not meet your asking price, you got to consider them. Pete Werner, just in terms of he's a young player under contract that teams might have interest in, and you have a player behind him in Danny Stutzman that you want to get a look at, mm-hmm. that would just make sense. You have some veterans who teams might be looking at, Dylan Radins, although, you know, obviously with Tali Fuaga going down with an injury, that your depth at offensive line is a little bit more of a question. Isaac Yiadom, who's a veteran player who might draw some interest. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. You have a few hours. There hasn't been a ton of rumblings yet. But it could heat up fast.
Do you know if artificial intelligence has gotten involved in any of this Because I know it's good at running combinations and scenarios.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And so forth with what we can give up, what we can get, how it's going to hit us with the cap, et cetera. I know that's questions out of left field for you, but I was just curious about that.
Yeah, as far as I mean, you do have a lot of AI-driven data that's used. You know, I don't think that they're going to ChatGPT and saying, hey, should we trade this player?
Right.
But, you know, teams are using machine learning and stuff like that for their analytics all the time. I mean, that's the best usage of it so far. I don't think that teams are farming out their cap management, anything like that.
Well, I was just curious because you would think, man, that's so hard to keep track of. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back 8:50, 10 till 9. More with Jeff Nowak when we come back. You got any questions, comments, you can text them in to 504-260-1870. Traffic now, WWL. 8:56 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. Jeff, give me your thoughts on Tyler Shuck's performance on Sunday.
Yeah, well, he didn't run enough plays, which is frustrating. Mm-hmm. So you didn't see a lot of what the plan probably was, especially to start the game, you know, three straight three and outs. And part of that's on him, part of that's on the pass protection, part of that's on the play calling, whatever. But I did think that there was some positives you can pull out of that. Like, one of the only positives I can take away from that game is that two-minute drill that I thought he executed really well. You know, a lot of games come down to those situations. And, you know, he made a couple really nice plays on the move. His throw to Olave, where he kind of stepped up in the pocket and slid out and found Olave on the run. Was nice to see. Kellen Moore highlighted that on Monday. And I think one of the reasons it stood out was because that's a situation that I think over the first eight games – you'd see a scramble, you know, and scrambles in that situation, third and two aren't the end of the world, but there are explosive plays on scramble drills that the Saints offense hasn't really unlocked. And I think that's somewhere that they can improve with Tyler on the field. I also thought he threw the ball pretty well in the second half. I mean, the fumble by Alvin was really frustrating because it came after a 10 minute drive by the Rams. The Saints finally get the ball. Tyler finds a nice completion to Juwan Johnson for a first down over the middle of the field. And then suddenly you give the ball right back. To go on another 10-play drive, that's the third quarter. So it's really tough to assess how a quarterback played when you get three plays in the entire third quarter, 40 plays in the entire game. But he had another drive where he found Olave and Shaheed with nice throws to the sideline, got down into the red zone. They got stopped on fourth down on a Taysom Hill run on that drive. So, you know, I think there are some positives you can pull out and say in a game that's closer, in a game that you generate some things on offense, you can take a step forward. It's easy to forget, hey, that's his first career start. I know he's 26 years old. He's still a rookie. So you're still in that kind of mode of, like, pull the positives out, build on those, try to erase the negatives or at least fix the negatives. There was one third down play that wasn't a fan of early in the game down by the goal line. It seemed like one thing you see on tape coming out of college is there seems to be a little bit of panic at times when there's pressure early and he just kind of throws it away. And you saw that it was a third down, a sack's not the end of the world there. You kind of just want to extend and he just dumps the ball. You don't want to see that, but
well, what
I
is
think that, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, what does Kellen Moore tell a team? I don't know what he tells them because he keeps saying, you know, it's the same thing. It's like deja vu all over again. We keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, and I don't know how you get their attention. I don't know what you do. Do you have any ideas?
It's a good question. I mean, you got to play better. There's just no way around it. Yeah. No one's going to come in and save you, no. Right? Like, you got to do it. I think that's the only thing you can tell.
Yeah, Calvary's not coming, or Calvary, right. However you say it. Boy, I tell you what, watching those Rams last year was the same thing. It's like watching Endymion. They start down here, and then they pass you all the way, right?
Keep coming.
And they keep coming, then it's over, and then you pack up and go home. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. We'll talk about some Becky Mowbray. We'll talk with her about BGR, about what's on the ballot in New Orleans, bond propositions, and so forth. And we'll wrap it up with Troy Carter. So a lot coming up. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.